Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be glory and honor and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. So exalt, oh so exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, Jesus the King. Oh Majesty, worship His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flows from His throne unto His own, His anthem reigns. So exalt, lift up on high. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all. Jesus who died, now glorified, Jesus who died, now glorified, kings of all kings. Let us give the Lord a clap offering of praise this morning. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Lord, we worship your majesty this morning, Lord. Lord, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise this morning. Lord, you deserve all the honor, you deserve all the praise this morning. So help us, Lord, no matter the circumstance this morning, to raise our hand before you, because you deserve the glory. You deserve all the honor this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Let us bow our head, let us close our eyes. Oh, great eternal heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege you give unto us once again this morning, Lord. whereby we can come in your presence this morning, Lord. Lord, you have given us the sunshine and the outside. Lord, we pray, Lord, that the sunshine may come in our heart this morning, Lord. And you may take away all the things that easily beset us this morning. And help us to look to you this morning, who is the creator of heaven and earth this morning. Lord, the one who gave us the life to be here in your presence this morning. Lord, help us not to look at this as another Sunday, Lord, whereby we come in your presence, Lord. But help us to look at it, Lord, as a day, Lord, that you have given unto us, whereby we can come, Lord, lift hands unto you, Lord. Whereby we can come and ask you for mercy, ask you for your grace, Lord. Because, Lord, every day in our life we make mistakes, Lord. And we are here this morning. We ask you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us this morning. Lord, and whatever we have sinned, Lord, whatever we have done, Lord, oh God, we ask you this morning that you may forgive us, Lord. And you may lead us into the path of righteousness this morning. Your people are here this morning, and we pray, Lord, that you may come in our presence this morning. Like never before, Lord, let your glory be seen in this place this morning. Lord, that we can live, Lord, not the way we came, Lord, but we can live as better people here this morning, Lord. Knowing why we are here in your presence this morning, Lord. Oh God, is to get a blessing from you this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you may anoint the one who's going to bring your word to us this morning. Lord, hide him behind the secret desk this morning. And let your word be seen this morning. Give us an accepting heart to receive it, Lord. Lord, because we can see, Lord, the closing of the days, Lord, they are upon us this morning, Lord. So help us to get our heart, Lord, in one accord this morning. Lord, take us to the potter house this morning. Mold us and make us in your image and in your likeness this morning. Lord, we want to be like you this morning. And to be like you this morning, Lord, we have to be washed whiter than snow this morning. So come and make us where you want us to be this morning. We pray, Lord, that you may take full control of the rest part of this service. We'll give you all the honor, we'll give you all the praise this morning. Praise be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Praise be your holy name. We give you all the honor, we give you all the praise this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Blessed be your holy name. God bless saints. It's such a great privilege for us to be once more again in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy this morning. Amen. No matter the circumstance this morning, we got to be happy when we're in the presence of the Lord this morning. Because it could have been worse this morning. Amen, saints. So let us give him the praise. Let us give him the glory this morning. He deserved the glory. He deserved the praise this morning. As we lift our hands this morning, praise be his holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands to worship. And the honor, as we lift our hands to worship, and we bless your holy name, you deserve the glory. And hands in worship, and we bless your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles of it. No one else like you. Of the glory and the honor this morning, you deserve the glory and the honor. Our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory. Hands in water. goodness like you. There is no one else like you. Let us give him the praise. Let us give him the worship this morning. There is no one else like him this morning. You're the great I am this morning. Blessed be his holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day this morning. Let us sing and rejoice and be glad in his presence this morning. Amen. I don't know it too well, right? So say it, you help me a lot. When Jesus washed, when Jesus washed, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed. Jesus washed, when Jesus washed my sins away, he taught me how to watch and pray, watch and pray. When Jesus was, when Jesus was, my sins away. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day. When Jesus was. Praise be your holy name this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for day, Lord, a day that you have made us free this morning to be free of liberty this morning, Lord. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed the name of the Lord. At this time, we have a seat while we sit back and listen to a special by Sister Cerise this morning. Praise be his holy name this morning. Let us give her a clap offering of praise this morning while she comes. Jesus' holy name this morning. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. We give you praise, give you glory this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. We give you all the praise, we give you all the glory this morning. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to thank Sister Cerise for the wonderful special this morning. I know who goes before me this morning. He is my guide. He is my leader this morning. Praise be his holy name this morning. Across the bridge, there will be no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there will be no more pain. After this course, we have a testimony by Brother Josue this morning. Sorrow across the bridge, there be no more pain, the sun will shine. Across the bridge, across the bridge, there be no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there be no more pain, the sun will shine. And I will never be unhappy again. Across the bridge, across the bridge, there'll be no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, the sun will shine. Across the rain, and I'll never be unhappy. When the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints, when the saints go marching in, yeah. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Praise be your holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Praise be the name of the Lord this morning. Praise be holy name. We'll have a seat or we'll sit back and listen to a testimony, brother Jose, this morning.
God bless you, saints. Happy to be here today. I'm happy to see all you guys here today. It feels good to be here with you guys. I have a small testimony. Sometimes little testimonies and little things mean so much to me and are so big. And I just wanted to share a little something, maybe something that's helped me, maybe it will help you guys. I wanted to say the bigger the trial, the size of your trial determines how
how much God trusts you.
Amen. Amen.
And the more he tests you, it determines the confidence that he has in you.
Amen. Yeah.
God's been testing me, and the devil has been trying to fight me, but he's losing the battle.
Amen.
I wanted to say that I'm not ashamed of what's happened in my life and things that I've been through, because everything that I've been through has made me what I am now.
Amen.
A few years back, I wasn't lost in the world. It was just, that's where God had me at the moment. But I used to drink a lot, and I got a DUI, and they took my license away. They suspended my license for 5 years. It's been 3 years since that happened. Something that I thought was a problem happened, and that problem opened up a door that I didn't even know that it was, for an opportunity of me getting my license back. The process would take about a month of them figuring out if I could get my license back. And I started doing the process, and it cost a lot of money. And from 1 month, it's taking 4 months. Just things that have been popping up, just making it kind of hard. But he told me that he was going to give it to me.
Amen.
Before the 5 years. And I've been sticking to that, and haven't been looking at what's happening. I've been looking at where I'm going and where I got to get to. It's so amazing how certain things happen. I started doing all the process and everything that I had to do to try to get the license, and I just wanted to touch this right here because I think it's kind of special. They were asking me a lot of questions that they had to ask me from three different people to see what I was saying was the truth. And I told them that they didn't have to do all that, because they were just going to waste time, because I was telling them the truth, and every time I was going to tell them the same thing. One of the questions they asked me was, why did you stop drinking? Well, I said, I stopped drinking because I went to court and they put me on probation, and they told me that one of the requirements was for me not to drink. So that's why I stopped drinking. But that was 3 years ago. Now, why I'm not drinking now, that's not why I'm not drinking now, because I'm not on probation and I could drink if I want. I told him, you told me to say the truth, so it might sound a little crazy to you, or maybe you will understand it, but the reason why I'm not drinking now is because God healed me from that.
Amen.
He took the taste out of alcohol out of my mouth. He took the desire.
Yeah.
Everything that I had to, that what I was feeling with that, he filled with something else.
Amen.
So I don't need it no more.
Yeah.
So she's like, the lady's like, well, I guess it's something supernatural. I say, yeah, it is. It's something supernatural, you know? So basically, to make this short, I mean, I could sit here and talk a lot. I could talk a lot, but I'm not going to do that. They called me. I needed to wait till I get an answer to see if I was going to get my insurance and all this other stuff that they're asking me, which really is just little trials, little things that come up, little barrels, and I've been jumping over them like nothing. So they wouldn't give me an answer. They wouldn't give me an answer. I'm waiting. And I say, you know what? I'm going to go get my insurance, because that's coming. Even though they haven't told me if they're going to give it to me, I'm going to go get my insurance. I went and got my insurance, just sitting waiting. A couple of weeks went by, 3 weeks, and I'm just like, I've got my insurance because I'm just waiting for the answer. They called me to do the last questionnaire, and then they told me, that was on a Wednesday, they told me, you got to call back on Tuesday and to see if we get an answer of yes, of approval, and then we will put the paperwork, we get a letter, we send it to Tallahassee, then Tallahassee calls the DMV, lets them know that your license is clear, and then they send you a letter and send us a letter. When you receive that letter, you could go get your license. Okay? I know it sounds complicated. So that was on a Wednesday. So on Sunday, they called me. Some lady that's not even the lady that's supposed to do it, she's like, I went in the computer, I checked, you've been approved. On a Sunday. So mind you, I had to wait till Tuesday to get the approval, so then they could send the letter to Tallahassee to then wait to get it back. So she told me that, and I was like, okay, no problem. I'll just sit back and wait till. She's like, call the guy on Monday. You don't wait till Tuesday. Call him on Monday. I call him Monday. He didn't pick up or anything. So I just, on Tuesday morning, he calls me, and he says, you've been approved. Remember I said that the letter, that he had to get the letter and send it to Tallahassee, and then they were going to approve all that and then send it back. And when I got the letter, I went to get the license. Now, there's a little situation that's been going on, and I needed my license to be able to come out of the situation. So I needed that my license the next day. Yeah. But that, if you look at it, wasn't going to happen. So he calls me. He says, you've been approved, and when I walked in this morning, the letter from Tallahassee is sitting in my desk. Now, I know that that letter was not supposed to be sitting in that desk, because they sent the letter to them and to me at the same time, and I still haven't received the letter to my house. So he said, you need to go get insurance. I said, I already got my insurance.
Yeah.
You need to get this thing installed in your vehicle, because I have to go through this program. I said, I already have the appointment for tomorrow. I already had set up everything, because even though I didn't know that it was happening, I was fighting. I was already thinking ahead. So the letter, I don't know how it went to Tallahassee and it came back in one day. And he doesn't know who put it in his desk, because they didn't even open the mail. Yet they just walked in and the letter was sitting in his desk. He said, you can come and pick up the letter and go to the DMV. I went to pick up the letter, went to the DMV, and I got my license.
Amen.
I just don't know how. I'm sorry. I know how that happened. But it's something so small, but it's so big to me, because the whole time I already knew. And sometimes God does certain things just to see where you're going to look for. And the devil's been putting in my mind, oh, now you're digging a little deeper, because you got something? Yeah. So if that's the opportunity that I got to dig deeper, so I'm digging deeper. So if I listened to the devil and I would have said, okay, well, now I'm going to dig deeper because the situation, then he would have got me. But he's really mad. He's not been able to knock me down, and I'm staying strong. And you know, one more thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to leave. If you put him first, this is just my. If you put him first, everything else will come together.
Amen.
If you put your job first or your family first, that's not going to bring you God. But if you put him first, then everything else will come together. And that's just my testimony. God bless you. I appreciate you guys.
Praise his holy name this morning. We give the Lord the praise. We give him the glory this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for you still on the throne this morning, Lord. Whereby, Lord, you can help us in the time of trouble this morning. Blessed be holy name this morning. We give the praise. We give the glory this morning. Praise be his holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord this morning. Blessed be his holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise his holy name this morning. Praise be his holy name this morning. I want to thank Brother Jose this morning for the wonderful testimony this morning. Amen. God is still on the throne this morning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed it this morning. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he have done for me, my heart cry out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me this morning. Blessed be his holy name this morning. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, oh, and what he has done for me, my soul cry out, hallelujah, thank God for saving. When I think of the goodness, of the goodness of Jesus, on what he has done for me, my soul cry out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul cry out, hallelujah. He paid a debt. He did not owe, I owed a debt I could not pay, to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never, when I think of his goodness. I think of the goodness of Jesus, oh, and what he has done for me. My soul cry out, hallelujah, oh, I thank God for saving me. Praise be his holy name this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name this morning. Lord, when we think of the goodness of you this morning, our heart have to rejoice this morning. Praise be his holy name this morning.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my brother. Amen. What a testimony. God is a good God, isn't he? My, my, my. Amen. We have a few visitors this morning. Brother Jeremy Miller, God bless you. Good to have you here, my brother. Praise the Lord. We have Brother Rudolph back. He's not really a visitor. He's our brother. God bless you, brother. Good to have you here. Amen. My aunt, Sister Martha, she's here from Vermont. Praise the Lord. Brother Tom Buck, God bless you, my brother. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have everything to be grateful for. We have one praise report this morning. Brother Mike, he dropped that tabernacle of flesh and went to an eternal one. Amen. He has the victory this morning. Praise the Lord. He has the victory this morning. Amen. His suffering is over. Amen. There's no more pain in that body. It's eternal. Praise the Lord. He's over with the rest of the saints rejoicing this morning. My, my, my. I'm sort of envious of our brother. My Lord. Amen. We don't have any written requests. It's good to have Brother Burrs here. We've been praying for you, brother. Praise the Lord. And we're glad Brother Burrs has a victory this morning. Amen. We want to continue to pray for Brother Hochi. I haven't been able to get a hold of him. He hasn't called me back yet, so we want to keep him in prayer. The doctors, they wanted him to go ahead and call hospice. So we want to keep Brother Hochi in prayer, and we want to continue to pray for one another always. Pray for Brother Jack this morning, all of our ministering brothers. Amen. That the word of God may go forth and continue to transform our lives into what we are supposed to be. For his bride must make herself ready. Amen. The only way we're going to get ready is by continuing to feed on that word. Praise the Lord. Will you stand to your feet? We'll take these requests before the Lord. Lord God Almighty, Father God, we thank you for Brother Mike, Lord, and what his life meant to us, Lord. His presence is missed this morning, Lord God, but you have given us comfort, Lord God, knowing that, Lord, the word says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints, Lord, for they go into your presence, Lord, never to suffer again. And Father God, we just ask that you comfort his family, Lord God, and Lord, we trust that they saw Jesus Christ in his life, Lord, in some way, somehow, that through his life, Lord, you may affect his family, Lord, that they too may turn in this late hour. Father God, we just ask, Lord, that you bless your servants this morning, Lord, how they have labored, Lord, to prepare a message for your people, Lord. Lord, they labored in your presence, Lord, to find your mind, Lord, what they would speak to your people, Lord God. You know the needs that we have, Lord. We need encouragement, Lord God. We need instruction, Lord. We need correction, Lord. You know what we have need of, Lord. Feed your sheep this morning, Lord. Father, we ask that you continue to anoint this congregation of your people. Help us, Lord God, to, Lord, have a ready mind to receive your word, Lord. We ask for more revelation, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord God, that we may take the sword of your word and continue to cut the devil on every hand, Lord God. Father, we just ask that you come in a special way, Lord. Continue to give victory to Brother Burrs, Brother Hoji, Lord God, the different ones. You know the needs that we have in our bodies, our situations at home, Lord God, our family members. You know all about it. And Father, we know to commit all things to you, Lord. We take our hands off of it, Lord, and ask that you have your way. Fulfill your word, Lord, as we commit these things to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may have your seats. We have a few announcements. Praise the Lord. We have a few birthdays this month. Sister Erica, happy birthday to you on Thursday. Praise the Lord. Also, Sister Rachel. And Sister Jennifer, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. There will be no service Friday night. Pinnacle Palm service next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Amen. Also, continue to pray for Brother Fred Mullen's meetings and also Brother Tim Hume's meetings. They'll both be at the same time. Amen. Everyone that can go, God bless you. Pray that the Lord grant traveling mercies to y'all. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother and sister. Good to see y'all down from North Carolina. Praise the Lord. Amen. Will you stand to your feet now? We're going to ask the brothers to come and take up the tithe and offering at this time. God bless you.
Let us bow our heads. Let us close our eyes. Oh, great eternal heavenly Father, Lord, once more again as we come before your throne of grace this morning. Lord, at this time, Lord, we want to bring the tithes, we want to bring the offering unto you, Lord. Lord, we want to bless those that have to give this morning, even those who have it upon their heart to give, Lord, because of circumstances they cannot give unto the gospel. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you may provide a way that they can give unto the gospel and next time freely. Lord, we pray, Lord, this money may use now wisely for the furtherance of the gospel. Jesus Christ, and thanksgiving. Amen. Praise be his holy name this morning. I'm amazed how he loved me. I'm amazed how he loved me. I'm amazed how he came to the precious blood of our Father. I'm amazed how he loved me this morning. I'm amazed how he loved me. I'm amazed how he came to the precious blood of our Father. My sins, they all wash away. All my sins, they all wash away. I'm amazed this morning. Oh, I'm amazed. Oh, how you love me. I'm amazed. How you came. Oh, through the precious blood of our Father. And my sins, they all wash away. All my sins, they all wash through the precious blood of our Father. Through your blood, our Father. And my sins. They all wash away all my sins. They all wash to the precious blood I found pardon. Oh, through your precious blood I found pardon. All my sins, they all. Wash away all my sins. They all wash away. Praise His holy name this morning. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, I want to thank you for your love this morning, Lord. Praise be your holy name this morning. I have heard of a land and a faraway stand. Tis a beautiful home of the soul. Built by Jesus and high, there we never shall die. I have heard of a land on the faraway stand. Home of the soul, built by Jesus, there we never shall die. Tis a land where we never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old. We shall never grow old, never grow old. In a land we never grow old. This is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am.
Praise is who I am.
I vow to praise Him. I vow to praise You, through the good and the bad. I praise You with a happy song. I praise You in all that I go through, because praise is
That other verse, yeah, okay, right there. Let's say that again. Praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do. Even when I'm going through, I've learned to worship you.
Know my circumstance. Come on.
Know my circumstance. Doesn't even stand a chance. My praise outweighs the bad. I vow to praise you, and I vow.
Hallelujah.
Through the good.
Come on, somebody. Say how.
With a happy. With a happy, I'll praise.
Come on.
All in all that I go through, because praise is what I do. I owe it all to you. Yes, I owe all to you, and I vow to praise you, and I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. Yes, I'll praise you with a happy.
Come on, somebody.
I'll praise you. Oh, in all that I go through, because praise is what I do. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, I owe it all to you.
This is what I do. It's what I do. It's what I do. Come on, everybody. Let it ring from all your hearts. Praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do.
Ooh. It's what I do. It's... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Praise is what I do. Come on, say
praise is what I do, do is what I do, is what I do.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give him praise in this place. Somebody worship him. Somebody glorify him. Somebody exalt him. God, we come to give you praise. We come to give you honor. We come to give you glory, but for you alone deserve it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody worship. Jesus is worthy to be praised. Whoa.
Come on, just one more song of praise. I will praise you in this storm.
Come on. and I will lift my hands. For you are who you are, no matter where I am. Oh, and every tear I cry, come on, you hold in your hands. God, you never left my side. And though my heart is torn, this is my testimony. I will praise you in this storm. Come on, let's sing it one more time. I'll praise you in this storm. Oh, and I will praise you in this storm. Hey, I will lift my hands. Oh, for you are who you are. Oh, no matter every tear you hold in your hands. You never left my side, though my heart is torn. Hey, I'm gonna praise you. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes. Where does my help? All my help. Come on. He's a maker. Hey, come on. I will lift. Where does my help? All my help from the Lord. He's a maker of heaven and earth. Come on, one more time. I will lift. Hey, where does my help come from? All my help. Oh, he's a maker. I will praise you in this storm. I will lift my hands, for you are who you are. No matter where I am, come on, and every tear you hold in your hand, you never left my side, though my heart is torn. Hallelujah. I will praise you. I will praise you in. Come on, I want every voice lifted. We're going to sing it one more time. Just every voice, no music. I will praise you in the storm. Say, I will praise you in this storm. Come on. And I will lift my hands. Oh, for you are who you are. No matter where I am, every tear you hold in your, you never left my side, though my heart is torn, I will praise you. Come on, though my heart is torn, oh, and though my heart is, my testimony is today, I will praise you in this hallelujah, hallelujah, whatever's in front of me. Help me to say hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, whatever's in front of me, help me to say hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever's what I'll choose to say. I'll choose to say hallelujah. 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 Oh, whatever's in front of me, I'll choose to say hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read a quick scripture before this next thing that I do. It's so good to have my dad in the house of the Lord today. And amen. Just appreciate God just touching his body and allowing him to come to the house of God. And as you all heard Brother Solomon say a little earlier, the praise report is that our precious brother Mike went home to be with the Lord. The Bible says he's absent from the body, but he's in the presence of the Lord. And I was sharing with my wife, I said, I have no doubt that God is even able to right now raise Brother Mike back to life. Got no doubt about that. So, however, I think if we were to invoke heaven, and to ask God to do these things, I have this strange feeling that Brother Mike would come back to church with his lips poked out. And he would be asking questions about who did this? Who asked God to send me back down here into this place? Because, you know, I don't want to be here, right? You say, what he's enjoying over there is no way he traded for what we have here. So we celebrate with our brother as he's gone home to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. May God give us grace to keep standing. Amen on this side. But I'm one that still believes God is still a healer. In the midst of whatever we're going through, God is still a healer. And I just want to read this scripture before we pray, and my father just asked that we would just pray over him, amen, this morning, and we want to do that. And while we're praying over him, I know that this is before the sermon, but that's okay. If there's anybody else that wants prayer, then we want to offer prayer for you. But we want to read the word of God before we pray. Here it says in James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We believe the word of God. Amen. And we want to just anoint Dad with oil this morning. And we want to pray over him. And anybody else that would like us to pray, we would be happy to do that. He's going through some things in his body. The enemy's attacking him. But we trust God to give him complete and total victory. Amen. So at this time, I just want to invite my father, amen, to come, and we'll pray for him, amen, this morning. Every head bow, every eye close.
cannot fail, it will come to pass. So we trust, Lord Jesus, that you would get the glory and the honor out of his situation. Proof that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we have based this upon your word. Father, we've laid hands on him. Your word says that he shall recover. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless you. Glory to God. I believe it's done. Amen. I believe it's done. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sorry to keep you standing so long. Tell you what I'll do is let me just announce really quick about the service next week, and then we'll read the scripture, and I'll let you be seated. just wanted to, so next, we're not having service next Friday because you all will be having the homegoing celebration next weekend for Brother Mike Woodfolk. Friday, the September 25th, between 6 and 8, we'll have the wake service there, amen, at Brother West Coast Church from 6 to 8, Rapture and Faith Tabernacle. And also on Saturday, September 26th, next Saturday at 11 a.m., we'll be having the homegoing service also at Rapture and Faith Tabernacle. And the repass will be at Hearst Chapel in Riviera Beach, Florida. So keep those things in mind. And I feel like I shouldn't have to say this, but I am going to say it. Brother Mike was one of our own. He's one of our own. And since he's one of our own, we should all be there to pay our respects to our precious brother. Amen. We should be making arrangements to, you know, get off work or whatever we need to do in order to be there for Brother Mike. All right, to pay our respects. So I would hate to see that everybody show up and none of his church family. That would just be wrong. Absolutely wrong. So, church, we need to show our respect, amen. I know some people don't like to go to funerals. I'm asking you to overcome that and be there to show your respect for Brother Mike. Please do that, amen, on his behalf. That brother served with everything he had while he was here, and I'm grateful for his service. And we got some of our brothers got some big shoes to feel, and we're looking forward to what God has in store for us, amen, as we go forward. This was just the will of the Lord, amen. No one thought that he would go in and not come out, but God had purpose for calling him into the hospital this time and not releasing him, and there were just a number of things that happened that we know was just the hand of the Lord. One of the things I will share with you is the nurse that was tending to him made a comment to us. It said, he said in his 40 years of serving in the medical industry, he says this was the second person that he's seen that transitioned so peacefully from earth. And I mean, that speaks a lot of his relationship with the Lord, that he can just transition so peacefully. Amen. So we know God called his servant home, and we're grateful for that. We accept that. But now our prayer is that through this death, that somebody will receive life. Amen. So keep us in prayer as we face this week. There are a number of things that need to be done. After service, we want to kind of talk about some of the food and things of that nature that we'll need next week. We need hands everywhere that can just help out. Anyone that can help out, we welcome that. And let's do the best we can to show this family that we support them during their time of loss. Amen. So God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much for everything. Saw Brother and Sister Daly. So good to see them. Amen. On today and all our other visitors. Amen. Thank God for you for being with us on today. Let's read, amen, out of the book of Daniel today. Amen. God bless you, musicians. I think the past 2 weeks, I had one special. Is that right? Is that what I heard? One special? I had another one today? Okay, I missed it. I'm sorry. Okay, just want to make sure we're not backsliding. Amen. All right. Let's turn here to the book of Daniel. Amen. Brother DJ, so good to see you this morning. And God bless you. God bless you. Amen. The book of Daniel, chapter 9. And we read a little bit of this on last week. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to read a little bit more today if I can. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 says this. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. Glory, not just one book, but many books. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I'm going to skip over to verse 20. Amen. We can see here clearly that while the children of Israel were in bondage, Daniel began to pray and he began to study the books of the prophet Jeremiah. And as he studied those books, it began to bring clarity to him as to some things that were about to happen. And we just want to pick this up in verse 20. It says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin." Praise the Lord. We all need to realize that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody can point fingers at anybody else. Amen. Because when you have one finger pointed at one, there are four others pointing back at you. So Daniel was praying, was speaking and praying and confessing my sin. Not only that, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy." Now, every one of those things that we just read in verse 24, Brother Branham went through that in the 70 weeks of Daniel and just kind of explained what each one of those things meant. And that's why it's very important that we go back and listen to what the prophet had to say. Just as Daniel went back to listen to the prophet Jeremiah, amen, we go back and listen to the prophet William Branham. Praise the Lord. Amen. "Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times." And you can go back in scripture and see how they had to build the wall. One man, while they're building, one man got a weapon. Amen. That he's standing there watching on guard while the other one building. Then they just swap places. They were building in troublous times, just like the scripture promised. But here, verse 26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that the and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just pray over the word of God. Father, we thank you for the ability to read, but we know it takes the Holy Spirit to bring clarity to what we've read. So now, God, we ask that you would just help us, Lord, at this time to, Lord, just go a little further in our thought that we presented last week. And may you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We were talking on the subject last week of getting in the spirit of the second coming. And we want to just kind of keep going down that same channel. Last week was very important because of, you know, the Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah. And y'all forgive me. They tell me I say it wrong every time. And sometimes I can get it right. Sometimes I can't. But you know what I'm trying to say. Amen. And it just happened to be that what that means is Feast of the Trumpets. And, you know, and last week actually happened to hit the day that the Jewish holiday fell on. You know, that was their Feast of the Trumpets. And when we look in Scripture and we see what Feast of the Trumpets and everything is all about, you know, it's really, you know, the Jews just kind of being called back, you know. You know, there's some things that's getting ready to happen to them, you know, where they're going to recognize who Christ is. And, you know, so there's things where they're being called back, kind of assembled together. Even, you know, there was something that I didn't mention last week, but I believe the Jewish prime minister, if I'm not mistaken, some great leader of the Jews, he has just recently put out a statement to call the Jews out of England, if I'm not mistaken. He called them out of England because they feel like they are they're in trouble, you know, there, that, you know, they could be attacked, terrorism and everything like that. You know, it's feeling like they could be attacking, that they're not safe, you know, if they're outside of the homeland. And these are things that, you know, Brother Branham said, that the Jews can't be blessed outside of the homeland. So here, just very recently in the news, they're calling the Jews back, right? And as they're coming back, you know, into the land of Israel, there's a time where they are going to receive their two prophets, which would be Moses and Elijah. And when they're receiving those two prophets, they'll be called to understand who Christ is. Now, before that can happen, and I know it has been preached in some places that we feel that the two prophets are on the earth now, I never could see it that way, right? Because if they were here, there would be no need for the bride to be here, right? And if I'm here, I'm going to put it that way, because I'm speaking by faith that I'm leaving. Amen. I'm one of them. If I missed it, something wrong. You got to feel the same way, right? You got to feel like, no, I'm going to make this rapture. I'm living everything I can so I can make a rapture, right? So, you know, I mean, I feel like it would be no need for the bride to be here if those two prophets were on the scene. But Brother Branham told us that there were some things, I mean, these things were all connected together. The bride would be leaving, amen, while the Jews would be coming back to recognize who Christ was. Hallelujah. Very important statements that we're making here, you know, because, you know, you know, these four blood moons and everything that's happening, like I mentioned last week, the first blood moon that happened in April of 2014, the Pope went to visit the Jews. Amen. And the last blood moon that's coming up on September 28th, I believe, the Pope will be just leaving the U.S., right? So, you know, these are very significant things that are happening, you know, because, you know, everybody knows that our economy is in trouble. Everybody knows, and we got prophetic insight on these things, so we're not lost. The prophet already told us that, amen, this economy is going to go to the gold standard. And if you just look around town, everybody trying to buy gold, right? Everybody got signs up, we buy gold. You have never seen all these things, but now it's happening because something is transpiring that you might not know about. And no sense in us kind of getting alarmed and trying to pull all our money out of the bank. And praise the Lord, most of us ain't got that much anyway. It's not going to hurt nothing. Pray, you living by faith anyway right now, so just keep on living by faith. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not bringing these things to bring fear. Amen. I'm just bringing these things to bring truth. But I can tell you this much. Like I said last week, I'll say it again. When all hell breaks loose, then I'm expecting all heaven to also break loose. What you mean by that, Brother Jack? I'm expecting that if my money is not worth nothing, then the spoken word, amen, will go into effect. If I have to speak food on my table, then I'll speak food on my table. Brother Branham spoke squirrels into existence. That was not only for Brother Branham, but that was for the bride of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and don't doubt in your heart, be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you say. You don't have to fear in this hour. Walk in everything that God has promised for you to walk in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Church, look, everybody else is getting in the spirit. Why won't we get in the spirit? Huh?
The homosexuals are in the spirit of the second coming. Because the Bible said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So we see these things all over. And when I mentioned to you last week, it was no way that they were supposed to pass that law to allow for same-sex marriage. That is a national sin. Let me make it clear. That is a national sin. And what Daniel was praying about is some of the national sins that were going on in Israel. Hallelujah. We're responsible for praying for some of these people. Come on, somebody. We got to confess our sin and confess the sin of the nation. Come on, to be an American, you got to be identified with her glory and her shame. Come on, you can't change it now. You can't try to be another nationality now. You are still American. And God is going to judge America. But I thank God before he judges, he's going to be calling this bride out of here. Come on, church. But Daniel was praying for those national sins and everything like that. And, you know, we ain't seen nothing yet. If they can do that with same-sex marriage, you know, I'm talking about what I mean by what they did is that here you go to the polls and you vote. And all the states say, no, we don't want it. But then I don't know how many people on the Supreme Court, but just, you know, a handful of people make a decision for the entire nation. And they change it irregardless of what we voted. And when you hear Brother Branham talk about why he don't vote, that's why he didn't vote. Huh? Because he knew of all the corruption that was there. And that ain't nothing but corruption. The people voted no, and y'all going to still say yes? And who going to go against them? My, even, you know, our president is just, my Lord. It just keep getting, every time you leave church, you get back home, you hear more news, it just keep getting worse and worse. Huh? Oh, my God. Now he's recommending certain people to leave the military. Huh? Just read it in the news. Recommending certain people to lead the military. And see, what they're doing is it's forcing this on the people. Come on, church. Right? And if they're going to lead the military, I mean, you know, they're going to have high positions in our government and so on and so forth. This stuff going to get pushed down into the church. And let me also just kind of say this. It ain't really being pushed into the church. The church already accepted it years ago. When I was a little boy, right, the people that was leading the choir, huh, they didn't have the right spirit on them. Mom and daddy couldn't even send you to choir rehearsal without being there as a chaperone. Huh? We're telling the truth. But the church accepted it, the people that were playing on the instruments. Huh? The ones that was on the instruments was the ones that was not living right. I used to see them all the time, church. Come in, get their paycheck, and leave. Don't even stay to hear the word of God because they might get delivered. To the point now where they got one guy, he's leading the church. He's a pastor of a church. Openly confessed that he's, you know, living an alternative lifestyle. But in living that, he also said he don't see no need why he need to be delivered. He say, people come say, let me pray for you. I want you to get delivered. He say, he don't see any need for it. I say, preaching to who? Preaching to who? And you see no need to get delivered? Huh? I don't want to hear you preach. I don't want to hear you sing. All I want to see is you get to the altar and get free. Huh? But this man said, I don't see no need. So, you know, and the sad part is people go to that church. See, we've accepted, now I ain't saying we, but a lot of churches have accepted this. I've talked to different ones. They say, well, to each his own. God, if the church is doing that, there's going to be some trouble. I got some things I need to read to you today, but just bear with me because I want to show you a little bit here. And if y'all just bear with me, I mean, if the homosexuals are in the spirit and they're doing what they need to do, right? You know, the other thing that the Bible promised that as it was in the days of Noah, it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man, and what that is, a lot of marriage and divorce and stuff like that. Be happening, and we see that happening. Every favorite singer, every favorite basketball star,
Huh? Every favorite, everyone that people lift up, some kind of way get brought right back down. And most times with marital issues. Look at Tiger Woods. All right. Y'all just, you know, I'm just, you know, look, I can call a whole bunch of names. Right? And you, we want our children to be like Tiger. We want to be like Mike. Be like LeBron. No, I want my child to be like Jesus. Woo, glory to God. All right. Let me read just a little bit here, and we'll get into this a little bit more. My God. I think I want to go back to Feast of the Trumpets, and let me just start at paragraph 45. Y'all bear with me. I want to read a little bit. I want to kind of set this up because these things are actually, they're happening and going to happen, and we want to be aware of the signs of the time. We want to be aware of it. Here the prophet says this: now the hidden mysteries of Christ was fully revealed in the seven seals. It revealed first the seven church ages, opened up the ages and placed them positionally, both with history and with the Bible, and set them in position how they was. And we found ourselves in the last church age, being the Laodicean church age, which was the most corruptible of all the church ages. Look at, even from the very first, from Ephesians, was a great church age. And then how here the Holy Spirit giving me a vision and seeing what would take place, I drawed on the blackboard 2 years ago. Here it is up here on the drawing, that how that light was fading off of the earth, which would be exactly the way that the light come on the earth as the gospel, and how it would fade in and out, not knowing it at the time what it meant and how it would be. Now, it's very important that we kind of catch that, because, you know, as Brother Branham drew that and put that, you know, what he's talking about is this right here, this little chart that I have. And you can see how in Paul's day, the Ephesians church age, there was more light in that day than it was in any other day. That was right after Christ had come to the earth. But now as we got further and further away, years got away from, you know, the word of God being influenced in those generations, it went into more and more darkness till it went to the dark ages, till it finally got to this Laodicean age. And Brother Branham drew it was all dark. Now, when he drew it all dark, the Holy Spirit said, just put a little light. And when he put a little light, that light was representing us, because we're walking in the truth. But it went into complete chaos, utter darkness, and that's exactly where we are. Now, it don't look that way from the outside. Look like the church is blessed. People talk, I mean, more money, more building programs, more this, more that, but further away from the word of God than they ever been. My God, they don't even, I mean, if you present the tip, I mean, now you can't even present a King James Bible. Huh? You can't even give them a King James Bible. They got other Bibles that they're Bibles that tend to represent what they are feeling. Come on. This, I thought it was one Bible, you know, when I first heard it come out, I say, well, my, you know, who wrote this Bible for the Message people? Who wrote this Bible? And what's that scripture? Yeah, what? How that? Yeah, somebody pull it up for me. I want to read that to you. But you know when you read the way that these things are written, it's not saying what it used to say, right? And people feel like, well, in order for us to understand the thous and thou shalt nots, we gotta put it in today's term. They are changing the meaning of the scripture when they do that. And some of them, they actually taking scriptures out. How are we going to stand on something like that? Come on, church. I'm going to read that to you in a little bit. But I just want you to try to get this, you know, what's going on here. Brother Branham talked about how the church would just be in utter darkness. Jesus stand on the outside trying to get back in. Let me read this. Thank you. This is the Lord's Prayer. Now, y'all grew up reading it, I mean, with this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're a blaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes.
What chapter and verse? Pull up Matthew 6, verse what? Verse 7? Start at verse 13. Pull up Matthew 6, verse 13. Just see how they changed it completely. Now, this man said that his church really couldn't understand the scripture, so he just decided to change it, you know, for his church. I don't know. If y'all had a pastor changing the word of God to fit the church, y'all need to leave that pastor. Y'all got my permission. If I get to that place where I'm changing the scripture, y'all got my permission to leave. Your soul is at stake. Right? You only get one chance with this. Right? Don't play games with it. Don't go to a church that's going to play games with your soul. Pull it up. Let me look at this. No, go back. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes. See, this is the real Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Listen, give us this day our daily bread. And when Jesus talking daily bread, he's not even talking three square meals. He talk about the word of God. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. Listen, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Where you get yes, yes, yes. Now, y'all bear with me today. Stay with your King James Version of the Bible. I know that people got all these other things. Stay with your King James Version. That's what the prophet was preaching from. All right, let me go on and keep reading this quote. God, help me. We're trying to get the church in the spirit of the second coming of the Lord. Amen. Listen, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, he says this. He says, but the great ecumenical world, a meeting with Rome, which is the mother of all organizations, the Pope for the first time in history, left the Vatican and went to Jerusalem and many places. Now, this is what Brother Branham was saying back in 1964. Okay? We just saw in 2014 the Pope go to Jerusalem again. All right, let's go on. It says, for the first time, left the Vatican, went to Jerusalem in many places. Now, Jerusalem is the ancient seat of all our religion, is Jerusalem. And in the ancient seat, the Pope from Rome, which has been the church's greatest enemy all times, leaves to come visit Rome, or from Rome to Palestine, Jerusalem. Let's go on. And all nature, and the moon is the wife. I'm skipping down to 52. And all nature, the moon is the wife of the sun. It is the lesser light. And then also, when the sun is gone, in the absence of the sun, the moon reflects the light of the earth. That's talking about us, right? Jesus Christ representing the sun, but we, the church, representing the moon. It says, in the absence of the sun, the moon reflects the light to the earth, which is a type of the church. And when the Pope leaves the ancient enemy of the church and comes over to Jerusalem, which is the seat of the church, which the new Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, we notice before it did it, there was a total blackout of the moon. Now, I'm going on. He says this, and in the papers across the nation, as we have on the board, it displayed how that the moon turned from light to darkness, and the very phenomena of it, that the moon drawed exactly in the skies, the same thing the Holy Spirit had me to draw here 2 years ago, showing, covering, when in six pictures, I put the seventh on there, because the seventh church age is just a shadow of light, the going up, that's where Jesus at the door knocking, but it goes into total darkness. Now, I want to just kind of bring that, because 1964, that happened with the prophet. Here we are coming up 2015, 2014 and 15, we had four blood moons. The first time the prophet went to Israel at the first blood moon, that was April of 2014. There was a second blood moon in October of 2014. the third blood moon happened in April of this year, 2015, and the fourth one. And they're not expecting any more blood moons like this to fall on Jewish festival days. That's the key thing. That has fallen on Jewish festival days. They're not expecting that to happen again for another, I think, like 2035. Right? It's going to be a long time before it happens again. So since it's happening now, we need to kind of take heed to these things. Listen. So we're expecting another one here this month, September 28th, another blood moon. All right? And after this final blood moon, is the Pope actually leaving the United States of America. Now, why did I read Daniel 9? Why did I read Daniel 9? I want to just kind of go back to verse 27, just so that you are kind of clear. I can't quote it all, you know, but I'll just kind of make reference to it. But here the prophet gives us some inside information. Amen. Daniel 9, verse 27. Remember, I told you last week that, you know, this whole thing, even with, you know, it falling on Rosh Hashanah, you know, and you know, last week when we was preaching Feast of the Trumpets, and, you know, that's what it is. Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of the Trumpets. But also they had a Smita, which is a Jubilee year, right? That's what the Jews are expecting. And when the Jubilee year happens, a Smita happens there with the Jews, they see it as the rise and fall of nations. Glory to God. Amen. The rise or fall of nations. And according to, amen, the economic world, our nation is beginning to fall. Our dollar is beginning to fall. Hallelujah. And China is starting to rise, but America is starting to fall. My God. Amen. So here, you know, we're seeing some things just kind of happen here right before our very eyes. And I just want to kind of show you something. With the American dollar falling, the prophet told us certain things that we need to be aware of. All right. One of them is actually found right here in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Verse 27, my God, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What Brother Branham told us is that what's going to happen is that the Catholic Church and the Jews are going to make an agreement. And in the midst of this agreement, the Pope is going to pull out of the agreement. Right in the middle of it. And now one of the things that the Jews is fighting for, they want to rebuild their temple. Amen. They want to rebuild it. And the place that they want to rebuild it is right where, you know, there's a Muslim temple sitting there right now. Now, if I'm not mistaken, just recently, that same Muslim temple that's built where the Jews want to rebuild, where they say Solomon's temple was, in that same spot, they just had an accident. There was a crane over above this temple. And while the crane is sitting there above the temple, lightning comes from out of nowhere, strikes the crane, and makes that thing fall and kill 100 or so people. Now, church, these are signs. These are things that are happening. We know what the Jews are trying to get out of this. Now, Brother Branham say the Jews on Wall Street. Why is it that the Pope is coming to the U.S. and he wants to visit the president, and after he visits the president, he wants to go to New York, to the United Nations? Well, what else is in New York? Wall Street. Church, we got to watch these things. And I'm telling you, what we hear, all right, it's already going to happen. So what we hear, it should not alarm us or excite us. We ought to be getting in the spirit of the coming of the Lord. Come on, church. I'm saying these things, you know, because I don't know any other way to put it, but we can't keep playing games with God. I mean, you know, we done tried to preach this from every angle that Jesus is coming soon. We preach it from an evangelistic perspective. We preach it from a pastoral perspective. Now I'm giving it from your economic perspective. I'm trying to hit it from every angle. Jesus is coming much sooner than you think. We don't have time to play games. I mean, we're struggling with all kind of foolishness. You know, to miss the rapture over, now think about some of the little things that you allow yourself to miss the rapture over. Little things. Itty bitty things. Things that, I mean, when the rapture's over, you'll be done threw down so fast. I can't believe I let this hold me up. Come on, let's keep reading. I want to go on and just kind of show you a little bit more here. My God. Let's go to prophet like unto Moses. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when I say things like this, you know, you got all kind of crazy people on the radio and Martians and all kind of don't take the chip and all this other kind of stuff that you hear on the radio. I'm not coming with a message like that. I'm not. What I'm trying to give you is prophetic insight on the day and time in which we live in, right? And if we can, like I read last week, if we can get in the spirit, we can see things. We can see things. I want to help you see some things. Prophet like unto Moses. The prophet says this. This full gospel Christian businessman has been one of my great supports in taking me into the in taking me in to help fulfill the purpose that I believe the Lord sent me to help do. That was to unite the body of Jesus Christ together. It's my purpose to do that. That's what's in my heart, to see all of God's children in one accord with one heart moving on. Now, this is the prophet's desire. Then I believe when that takes place, the work will about be over then. The millennium will set in, the rapture will come, and we're certainly praying and watching, waiting for that time. And as we see the clock tick around, the time clock of God's timepiece, all the prophecies being fulfilled and setting right up before us now for the coming Messiah, we are certainly a happy people and should be that way, for we're looking forward to the greatest event. Listen, we're looking forward to the greatest event that ever happened in all human history or ever will. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to catch a church to himself and take her to himself. What a glorious time that will be. There's many great events has happened in the world, many great things, but nothing like that. So, church, this great event that we're trying to get prepared for, the greatest event that ever happened on the face of this earth, is the second coming of the Lord. You got to get your heart right and ready. Don't let the devil desensitize you to what's going on around you. You know, we're so caught up in so many other things. We're caught up in our television program. We're caught up in our favorite internet site. We caught up with apps all over our telephone. We caught up in so many things that we're not caught up in the coming of the Lord. Church, we're going to have to start pulling aside and getting ready for what Jesus is about to do. It's happening already. This is not something that's going to happen. It is happening right now. You know, I mean, you know, you can see it happening, like, oh, well. And what's some of your plans for next week? Huh? Next question. Have you included God in your plans for next week? Huh? If you haven't included God, you need to kind of take an inventory. You need to stop what you're doing right now and just, Lord, is this really what I should be doing? Huh? Is this what I really need to be involved with? Because some of this stuff don't make no sense. It's just pulling us further and further away from God. Even our jobs can pull us further away from God. Amen. I mean, we know we get so interested in those jobs. You realize when the rapture comes, that job ain't going to mean nothing to you. Huh? Glory to God. Family pull us away. You know your family can come visit you on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. But why they always show up on Wednesday and Friday? Huh? You need to put your foot down, and you need to start telling, no, I'm going to church. Come on, somebody. Huh? Why does your boss always call you at service time? Have you ever considered that maybe you need a different job? Do you believe that God can actually bless you with a job that allow you to be in church? Oh, our God can't do those type of things. All right? I mean, we don't even pray and even ask God for these things. We accept whatever the devil just throw on us. We got to change what we do in church. Come on, you ought to be looking forward to being in church. If there was ever a time to go to church, this is the time now. there was ever time I got to get to the house of God. I got to hear what I just got to hear what's being said. Sometimes you can't shout over this. You can't jump over it. You got to be prepared, church. Things are happening right now. While you're sitting here, things are happening right now. We got to get ready. I'm trying to get a little further here. Let me go on. Here in Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 180, look at this. Notice we find now that the natural power under the natural to a natural nation, Israel, was loosed there. And what did it? It went and made war and how it murdered and persecuted. Brother Brandon was talking about how these trumpets, when we talk about the trumpets, how they was loosed, it was totally for the Jews. It wasn't for the Gentiles. It was loosed upon the Jews, these trumpets. And if you just look at it, even in Scripture, you know, Revelation 7, you know, 8, 9, and things like that, where those trumpets was released. And then in Revelation 10, we have the voice of the mighty angel, you know, seven thunders uttering their voices and things of that nature. We know Revelation 10, 7 was actually Brother Branham's ministry. We know that. But so there were some things that were happening where all this was just kind of coming together at one time. If we know Brother Branham's ministry is already come and gone, then we can also expect some other things to happen for these Jews. Moses and Elijah getting ready to come on the scene. But before they come, God got to pull the bride out. And what I mean by that, the bride has to go on a rapture. Church, I'm looking for it. See, Brother Mike just beat us home. That's all. He just beat us home. But I'm telling you, it's not many days hence. It's going to come. You might come looking for somebody at the church. Well, how come ain't nobody there? You think we went on a trip somewhere. We did. Amen. Yeah. A few weeks from now, you know what? Like, it's going to be a lot of families missing because different people go on different places on a trip. And it's going to become common things like that. And you're going to come and like, well, where everybody at? Pastor didn't announce about that one. Yeah, I did announce it. I told everybody to get their hearts right. I told you we was getting ready to leave. One of these days is going to be the last time I come up here and say it. Well, one of these days is going to be the last time I enter the pulpit and say anything about this. I just believe that. I mean, you know, I'm glad that even some of the young people are catching it. They're like, you know what? This thing's so close, I probably ain't going to get married. It's okay. It's okay. Trust me. It is okay. I know most of y'all married people ain't going to say amen. She know what I'm saying. That's why she said amen. I talked to y'all a few weeks ago about that invisible line in your bed. That married people go through that. And it ain't fun when you have the invisible line in the bed because you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And you don't want to live like that. But sometimes it's hard. It's very difficult to try to get that thing corrected before the sun go down. We might as well be honest. I mean, you come to church with your problem. Can't fix it before you get to church. And when you leave church, the devil right there waiting for you again. Great service. Slain in the spirit. But your wife saw you slain, brother. And she ain't done with that conversation. I'd rather make a rapture any day than have anything that this world have to offer. The rapture is the most important thing that could ever occur in your life. That's greater than marriage. That's greater than having children. That's greater than anything. You cannot even imagine what making a rapture is like. Let me go on. I just got to drop this, some of this in. Please, forgive me. Notice we find now that natural power under the natural to a natural nation, Israel, was loosed there.
what did it? It went and made war, and how it murdered and persecuted. And talk about, you know, just the national, I mean, just how Rome was just kind of loosed on Israel and just created all kind of problems. And that spirit of Rome came in even under Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler. That spirit of Rome was still there on those men attacking the Jews. And that was all part of, you know, six seal things, right? That's all part. See, it's blending together. And that's the key. What we don't see is the blending of it. How God is dealing with the Jews, also dealing with the Gentiles. But that final move, right, before he goes completely to the Jews, he has to pull the Gentiles out. So these seals are already being released, already being fulfilled, right? The prophet already told us these things. We don't have to sit around here like we don't know what's going on. If you've been listening to your tapes, then you know that. I believe every family in here been given CDs. What you doing with them? And let me just also make it really clear. God did not send Brother Branham to the earth to entertain you or me. And so if you're looking for a preacher to grab his ear, oh, Lord, I'm glad that ain't happening. But if you're looking for somebody to reveal truth, you're going to have it through the prophet. Boy, you ain't used some, I mean, and I'll tell you what, God vindicated pretty much every message he preached. I never even heard anybody, but after every sermon, God vindicate. It happened with him. Calling out your conditions on tape and people getting healed from what they, I mean, look, church, this is reality. Let me stay. I got at least one thing I'm going to say today, and I'm going to get there and say it, and I'm going to probably let you go. Let me just go forward with this. I hope that God opens your eyes to this now. Because he says, now in the ecclesiastical realm of it, are you? I hope that God opens your eyes to this now, because I realize that this is just not speaking to this church here. This tape goes worldwide, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but just to tell the truth. Now, the ecclesiastical realm has been open from the natural revival of the old pagan Rome. Went forth on those Jews, which has always been their enemy, the lion with teeth and everything, it stomped down, broke out the people. Rome always been God's enemy, and it was turned loose in the same spirit by the dictators of the world, because the religious system was still holding. Now it's been loosed. Stay with me. That's an important statement that he just made. I'm going to keep going in that quote. That's an important statement that he made, that the religious systems were still holding. The religious systems were still holding certain things, right? Like even today, the religious system is still holding. They won't accept everything that the government just kind of threw. Y'all might have did that. You know, even, my God, there was a lady in Kentucky. She was still holding. You know, she said, I know I'm the clerk of the court, and it's my responsibility, according to the laws of the land, to issue these licenses. But since I also am a believer in Jesus Christ and his law is greater than your law, I refuse to issue those licenses. They say, well, you're going to have to go to jail. Well, come and lock me up, because I refuse to give these people their license. Lady went to jail, stayed in jail. Came out of jail and said again, I refuse to give them their license. See, some people still holding. They might not even be message believers, but they still holding. May God bless them for that. Because, you know, I just have a feeling. Lord, this is a sad thing to say, but I'm going to say it. I have a feeling that message people will let it go. They'll let it go. Believe? No, I don't believe that. No, my pastor, man, I don't even know why I was in that church. I don't believe that. We done pulled a Peter. Jesus. I don't know no Jesus. Better get up off me. I don't know Jesus. Huh? And then if that don't get it, no, you even talk like them. Well, then they change their language right there. Start cursing.
it showed that he never got delivered. But after he was converted, then he could strengthen his brethren. Oh, hallelujah. Go on a little further here. What has it done? In the cunningness, as he said, he come in like flatteries. And what has he done? And see, you know, when the Pope, you know, everybody happy, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people are happy that the Pope is coming. You know, here our president would not receive the prime minister of Israel. Pretty much say, look, now I don't want you here talking to our Congress. But the Pope, yeah, oh yeah, come on in. Now, you know, and when the Pope come, it ain't just the Pope coming. There are certain things that people got to do when the Pope show up. You bow down, you kiss his ring. When you go into the Vatican, you cannot walk. You can't turn your back and walk away from him. You got to back out like this. I mean, it's various things that you got to do to show that you honor and respect the Pope. Here, the Pope come to the White House, and our president going to be kissing somebody's ring, showing who has more power and authority. Come on, church. But we had a prophet that went to Rome. A great man on the earth. His ministry was really moving all over. And they say, man, we can get you an interview with the Pope. Say, oh, yeah, that'd be wonderful. Say, what I got to do? He say, well, you know, just call him this and call him that. Say, I got no problem calling him that. What else I got to do? Well, you know, just kiss his ring. That's out. Bow down. That's out. He said, cancel my appointment right now. Now, I want you to understand something. They ain't forgot about that prophet. Because most people get an opportunity to see the Pope. They are not going to cancel that appointment. They're going to make sure they stand. They have not forgotten that prophet, even though he's dead and gone. Guess who they watching now? The people that follow that prophet. I'm going to read it right here. What has it done in the cunningness? As he said, he come in like flatteries. And what has he done? He is bringing the Protestant Ecumenical Council of the World Churches, the spirit of Antichrist upon both of them, bringing them to the slaughter, just like they did the other, the hour to call the bride. Now, loosed in the ecclesiastical church spirit, loosed upon what? Not upon the denominations, upon the bride. So this whole thing that they're coming up with, this is to come after the bride. They're not coming after denominations. They already got them. But as a group of people, I mean, you know, we stand out like sore thumbs. Boy, I'm like Mordecai of old. Can I preach just a little bit? Right? Mordecai, you know, here he, you know, go walk around and Haman say, man, all the glory that the kingdom bestowed upon me and you know, and I mean, the man, he done promoted me, he done made me this, he done made me that. And when I walk out, everybody bowed down, but I see one guy refuse to bow down, and he's standing there with no grin on his face or nothing. He just refused to be like everybody else. Amen. That one guy, I'm coming after him. Amen. Say, look, you know, he just couldn't go to sleep at night. He couldn't sleep. He said, you know, wife, I'm going to get this guy. And his wife started feeling the same way he was feeling. You know, you know what you ought to do, Haman? You ought to build some gallows. And when you build some gallows, you're going to go to the king and you're going to tell the king what this guy doing, and you're going to hang him from these gallows. Dear, that's a great idea. Haman went the next morning early. He thought he had it, boy. King, I got something to say to you. Who's there in the court? It's Haman. Oh, Haman, come on in. I got something to say to you. Well, what is it, king? Say, well, what would you do for a person that's shown great honor to the king but's never been rewarded for it? What would you do, Haman, if you had the opportunity to do something? He said, oh, king, I would get the king's horse, and I would take certain clothes, and I would array this person in those clothes, and I would put him on top of the king's horse, and then I would send the king's greatest servant to walk before that horse and say, this is how the king honor those that honor the king. So, Haman, that's a great idea. Haman just grinned and said, yes, I'm going to ride the king's horse, and I'm going to be dressed in the king's clothes. Say, Haman, I want you to do that for Mordecai. Mordecai didn't even get an opportunity to say he was there to try to kill Mordecai.
Church, that man walked through the city and started beginning to promote Mordecai like crazy. The same guy that would not bow down. And I'm going to tell you, God still got some Mordecais in the land today. They refuse to bow down to denominationalism. Thank God. I'm glad I can say I'm one of them. You know, that might put me in prison one day. It put some of my brothers there. Paul and Peter, John on the Isle of Patmos. They had to go through some things for this gospel. I wonder if you're willing to go through a few things for the gospel. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the gospel went through a lot just to get you. Let me read on. See, it's a loosed in the ecclesiastical church spirit, loosed upon what? Not upon the denominations, upon the bride. But here you'll get it. The bride will not go through that time. I'm so happy. I know it's coming, but I also know rapture is awaiting me. So I'm getting in the spirit of the coming of the Lord. Come on, I'm getting my house in order. I'm getting my business fixed because I want to be ready when he comes. Look, the Bible says not the church will, but not the bride. Can't you see, ministers? Can't you see that, brethren? You say the church has to go through the persecution for the perfection of it. The blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. A man who chooses a wife don't put her through a lot of punishment. He's already found grace too with her. She has found grace with him. He engages to her. And if there's anything, he'll keep her from every place to turn her hand. His grace is so great upon them. Thank God. I was just thinking about this, you know, because Brother Branham said this spirit, this Roman spirit. Now, it was going against national, you know, the Jews nationally, that spirit was attacking them. But now it's an ecclesiastical spirit that's coming against the bride. Now, and I was just kind of sharing with the Sunday school class something that happened just recently. You all might, I think it came out last year or the year before. But go back, go to Google, pull up Kenneth Copeland and the Pope. And if you all remember what happened, go back and listen to this all over again now. See, because things are happening very fast. But there was this man by the name of Bishop Tony Palmer. Used to work with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And this man considers Kenneth Copeland one of, and also the current Pope. He considers both of them two, he say he got three spiritual fathers, and he considered the current Pope and Kenneth Copeland two of his spiritual fathers, right? And now he used to work for Kenneth Copeland Ministries, but while he was working for them down in South Africa, the man was praying that he would have an opportunity to go back to Rome. But he wanted the Catholic Church to actually invite him to come to Rome, and that's exactly what they did. Now, what he's a part of is what they call the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And there was a statement made that the charismatic Catholics are the hope of the church, and they told him, say, you need to evangelize within. What are they saying? Charismatic Catholics. See, you know, at right now at this moment, I'll just leave that. You know, you go to a Catholic church, it's pretty quiet. And we're not a Catholic church. We're not a Catholic church. But charismatic Catholics believe in the move of the Spirit. And they're getting that from the Pentecostals or the Evangelicals. Okay, because they believe in the move of the Spirit too. So here are these charismatic Catholics, and that's the problem. There's a lot of people moving in the Spirit but don't have no word. They don't even know why they're moving. Right? That's why God called us a spirit and truth. We got to have this part right here so we know what we're shouting over. Come on. I mean, and Kenneth Copeland, you watch the tape, they shouting over something that they have no idea what they've just done. No idea. But here, no. We ain't saying amen too fast or none of that. I just want to go a little further. See, when this man, since the Pope, the current Pope is his friend,
what this man did is when the current Pope actually called him up, said, I want you to come and visit me. So he went to visit the man, went to visit the Pope in his apartment, said, you know, look, he said, what's the agenda? He said, I ain't got no agenda. We friends. I just want to just kind of see you. Like, wow, I get a chance to just sit with the Pope. He said, you know what? I'm on my way to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They're going to have a conference, ministers conference, and I'm on my way. He said, well, you know what? I want you to, he said, can I take a message from you, Pope, to Kenneth Copeland and the ministers? He said, yeah, but let's video the message. And this man was saying some things on this tape. I want y'all to hear this. He said, his wife was formerly Catholic, but now, you know, evangelical. But she was so happy that she could be Catholic, charismatic, evangelical, Pentecostal, and be accepted. That's not us. We just want to be the bride. So since she could be all that and be accepted, she said, I'm returning back to my Catholic roots. That's what his wife did, which caused him as the bishop to follow his wife right back to her Catholic roots. Come on, let me go on. He says, when there's this man, Tony Palmer, he stood before, right, the ministers there at Kenneth Copeland Ministries Conference, and he said, I come in the spirit of Elijah. He said, John the Baptist was to turn the heart of the sons to the fathers and turn the heart of the fathers to the children. He said, I'm coming in that same spirit. He said, prophecy had a double fulfillment as he knew Elijah will come before the second coming as well. Now, he's not denying that God's supposed to be sending another prophet according to Malachi 4. He's not denying that. He's not denying that. But he says, got a double fulfillment. And notice how he said it. He put it as if he was fulfilling both of them. I'm here to turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers, and I'm also here to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. What is he saying that we're not saying? I'll tell you. He's saying, I'm here to turn the denominational churches that have walked away from the Catholic Church all these years, I'm here to bring all of them back to the Catholic Church. But I'm also here to get the Catholic Church to accept the denominational churches. And I'm going to tell you, he made a statement, 1999. There's an agreement that was made. This agreement, they said after the Catholic Church was started, 1,000 years after they started, the church split two ways. They call it the East and the West. They split. Said 500 years later, the Lutheran split as well. This is when Luther decided to go up and nail his 95 theses to the Catholic Church door and say the things that y'all doing are off the Word of God. Well, they only found one thing that Luther said that they was different. Luther was saying, no, by grace you are saved. It's not by works. It's by grace. And the Catholics were saying, it's by works that you're saved. Well, they come in 1999 and made an agreement that says, oh, we believe it's by grace you are saved, but once you're saved, it will produce works. Sound real good. They agreed and signed Lutheran Church, Catholic Church. 5 years later, the Methodist Church signed that same agreement. And see, Luther representing the Lutherans, Wesley representing the Methodists. Brother Branham said then it was the Pentecostals. And after that, the bride. That man stood in Kenneth Copeland's pulpit and he said, we got the Lutherans, we got the Catholics, we got the Lutherans, we got the Methodists all to agree. Say the reason pretty much I'm here because we have not found any evangelicals to sign this agreement. Who's the evangelicals? The Pentecostals. Kenneth Copeland representing them. He said, we're looking for evangelicals to sign this agreement. Now, church, I might as well be honest with you. If they haven't signed it, they will. But there's going to be one group on the earth that has not signed the agreement. Guess who that group going to be? So when the prophet said that this was coming after the bride, church, it's time to get right. It's time to get in the spirit of the second coming of the Lord. It's time to let go of stuff that ain't got no sense of holding us no longer. Is it worth, I want you to ask yourself a question, is it worth going to hell over? That thing you're holding on to, I remember Brother Reggie say, what, everything that you're holding on to, you
got to let it go. It says, do what you got to do. Come on, if you got a girlfriend that you're holding on to, let her go. If you got a boyfriend you're holding on to, let him go. Things to this world that you're holding on to, let it go. Let me put it this way. You ain't the first one that had to let it go, and you won't be the last one. I got to let go the way I used to dress, the way I present myself. I got to let it go. Come on, somebody. I got to look like the brothers and the sisters of the church, because this is what God is calling me to. Amen. Look, 99 and a half won't do. Oh, my. My. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Let me just try to wind this up maybe with one last quote here. This is Feast of the Trumpets. Let's go to paragraph 264, and I'll bring it home. I promise you. I'm getting in the spirit. I'm getting ready to leave. Glory to God. See, everybody ain't going to taste death. And sometimes when we get to situations like this, death is almost an easy way out, right? But you know, your heart, your mind, I mean, your life got to be lined up with this word. And if it's not, you're going to miss this rapture. You'll go through a tribulation period and you have to be purged then. And it's going to be really tough, really, really difficult. This is the easiest time that you got right now. And see, I'm telling you, like I say, it's going to be a couple weeks from now, all these families are going to be missing from the church because they're actually going somewhere. You know, they're going to meetings. We're announcing the meetings. Brother Fred having meetings. Brother Humes having meetings. We're announcing that. I got to go to Missouri, you know, that we're going to be missing. But you can you imagine coming to church one week and ain't no meetings been announced? And you wonder where everybody at? They at the meeting. That great meeting in the air. So you heard the word today. And so God, I'm going to be like the voice of many waters calling out against you on the day of judgment. And God going to say, now, didn't you hear Jack Duff preach that sermon? You heard it, right? About getting in the spirit of the coming of the Lord. What you did with that? Why you ain't do nothing with it, right? That's what he going to say. Church, I mean, and I'm going to say, Lord, I told him. I sure enough did. I'm going to just put it this way. I'm not going to hell for nobody. God ain't going to accuse me of not telling you the truth. So I might as well tell it to you. And sometimes you can read between the lines without me being so obvious. Sometimes the reason I'm not being so obvious is because I don't want to hurt others that don't know what you know. They might be doing what you do, but they don't know what you know. So you don't try to make people feel embarrassed like that. I'm trying to win everybody. But you know exactly what I'm saying. It's time to let it go. If my friend don't want to let it go, that's them. But I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to serve God with everything I got. Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 264. Look, I want to say one more thing closely now. Don't miss this. House striking from the seventh angel's messenger of the seventh seal. Message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal to the seven trumpets between those two times. Oh, God, how can we say this? To make the people see it. It's between the sixth trumpet and the sixth trumpet and the sixth seal sounds at the same time. And between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles to call the people back to the original Pentecostal doctrine. And the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appear to the Jews to send them to Jesus while the church is being taken up, all of them prophets. Amen. The word of the Lord cannot be broken. It won't be a denomination. Do you see it? Read in your book here. And remember, Daniel was reading in the books. Read in your book here and see if that between the sixth and the seventh trumpet isn't injected in here and there. Let the Jews being called out between the sixth and the seventh plague, we come over to that 144,000. You remember that? Which was between that? Do you remember? Between the sixth, the fifth, and the sixth seal, between the sixth and the seventh seal, there was a calling out of the 144,000. You remember that? Now, there is where these trumpets come in right there. See? And persecution and horses loosed on there. Then between that, there was to be a seventh angel's message that had been preaching and condemning the Pentecostals, and Jesus had been put out, wouldn't have no cooperation with nobody, be put on the outside, rejected. The Bible said so, for it's Christ made manifest among us, Jesus among us all, made manifest in the purity of his word, making it known. And if that's this is not just makeup, friends. This is thus saith the Lord, the scripture. Listen, goes on to say this. And at the same time, now, as soon as this church, the bride, is drawn together, she is taken up, and that mystery of the seventh seal, or the seventh seal, the mystery of going, and the Jews is called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet, which is two prophets, Elijah and Moses, and they come back, and there is where the Pentecostals is all mixed up. They're looking for something to happen. The church is done gone, and that's to the Jews. I mentioned this a little while ago, a little small group like ours. We travel so much. If we were missing, nobody would come looking for us. I can almost assure you, just like these two little boys that just got swept away at sea, they were out supposedly going fishing, and that's what they tell us. You understand? That's what they say. They found a letter and all that. That's what they tell us, so we just kind of accept what they tell us. But we don't really know, right? But here these two boys supposedly went fishing, didn't make it back home. Coast Guard couldn't find them. Nobody could find them. Well, after so much time, guess what? They stop looking. You know why? Because somebody getting paid to look. And we don't have money to keep paying these people to keep looking for somebody they can't find. And another thing, the prophet said, how do you know? We're not leaving one by one. How do you know? One by one. So, church, with all these things that are happening, and I'm not saying this so that you can get so alarmed that you don't, you know, and scare you to heaven. I'm not trying to scare you to heaven. Actually, if you don't want to go, that's on you. You shouldn't have to be scared to heaven. You shouldn't have to be. I mean, that ought to be something, Lord, I got to get there. And you got loved ones that are already there waiting on you. Look, you got to do what your loved ones did to get there. See, this is what I have to kind of share with Brother Mike's family. Now, if you want to see him again, you got to come the way he went. You can't fix your own way to get to heaven. It don't work that way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by him. And in the church, Jesus has been kicked out. They done programmed it so bad. Holy Spirit don't have no chance to move. You get caught up if you want to. Somebody be ushering you out. Well, you can come and come celebrate right in this little room right here. Take you out the Spirit so fast. Jesus is on the outside of his church knocking, trying to get back in. We don't ever want to be so programmed here that we don't put Jesus out. But I tell you what, I don't want to scare you to heaven, but I do want to bring truth to you so that you can make some decisions. And like last night we had a wonderful service here, and man, brother Hugo did an awesome job of just kind of sharing with us about sin. And he put this little demonstration out here and put three little bottles, and he had water in one bottle, and then he had some type of red color in something in another bottle, then he had bleach in the other one. And he showed how the one with the red, say that represents sin. And the one that was water represents us. We're so pure and we're so clean. He said, but then we go out and we do a little sin, and it's Satan taking his little sin bottle and just pouring it in us. And as he poured it into the water, it just began to change the color. It didn't go all the way red. It just got a little tainted. Then it kept pouring a little bit more sin in. It got a little bit more, till eventually it never looked exactly like the devil. Right? But you could tell that Satan had more influence there. And then he took a little pad and he hid around it, you know, so that, you know, say, this is what happened. Our careers start using excuses. That's why we can't come to church no more. And we hide behind those excuses. But Satan just pour more and more sin into our lives. Nobody can see
what's happening to your life, but you know. They say, but Satan say, well, if I can do that to them, then I can do the same thing to Jesus. I can affect him. They say, well, I'm going to take this red and I'm going to pour it into the bleach. And when he put it into the bleach, it just disintegrated. Then he said, you know what? We get to a spot where we say, Lord, move Satan back out of my life. So I need some of your bleach to come and wash me and make me clean. And he took that bleach and he poured it over inside, you know, the body that represented us. And next thing, you know, that bleach, just a little bit. It didn't take a lot. But just a little bit of the bleach began to change the color that was on the inside of us. And it showed that it was an inside work that had to be reflected on the outside. Right? But you have to invite God to come in and do that inside work. If you know your life is not right with God, why don't you invite him in? God, and you know what? Do it from your heart. Really mean it from your heart. God, I want you to take control over my life. I'm tired of living this life that I'm living. I want you to have preeminence. Jesus went through a lot of criticism for us. I think we can go through the criticism for him. And like Brother Hugo did last night, we're not going to have an altar call. The altar's in your heart. If you heard the word of God today and you want to do something about it, go home and do something about it. After you have repented, I encourage you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promises unto you, to your children, those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you have not been baptized according to Christian baptism, I invite you, please come see me so we can schedule some time to have you baptized. Got to get our hearts right with God. Get in the spirit of the coming of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this is a very, very serious hour. So many things are happening all around us, and it's happening so fast. We can't keep up with it. But as Daniel went and began to read the books of Jeremiah, let us, God, go and begin to read the books of our prophet that you sent to us, Lord, to prepare us. And here this man, Mr. Palmer, is saying that he's coming in the spirit of Elijah. But we've already had somebody come in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. That was Brother Branham. That was his duty, to turn our hearts back to the pure word of God. Going through the denominational churches, some of us in here, we've been Baptist, we've been Pentecostal, we've been Catholic, we've been Methodist, we've been Lutheran, Episcopalian. We've tried it all, God, and we've realized that something was missing. What was missing was the word. God, and now we have the word. It's been restored to us. And all we have to do now is walk in that word. So, Father, I pray that every heart that is heard today, God, that they would be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord that is speaking to them, that they would go beyond me, the vessel that it came through, and that they would see that it's Christ. It's Christ calling to them. Father, just as Mordecai stood in his day, we have to stand today. As the Hebrew boy stood in their day, we have to stand today. As Daniel stood in his day, we have to stand today. This is reality. And we're allowing way too many things to interrupt our time with you. Way too many things. God, we need to be convicted of this. As a group of believers, we need to be convicted of it. God, that we won't put anything before you, that we would keep our eyes dead centered on you. You told the children of Israel as they were entering into the promised land, you told them, don't get too far behind the word and don't get in front of the word, but keep that ark in sight. God, that's what we want to do. We don't want to get so far behind that we're missing things as they're happening before us, and we never want to get so excited that we get in front of what you're doing. But Lord, let us keep the word of the Lord in our sights, that we would follow, Jesus, Lord, with everything we have, that we would follow. We don't have time. Sometimes we want to take it slow as we make adjustments and transition into this Christian lifestyle. We don't have time to transition. It's now or never. It's all or nothing. Help us, God. Help us. But we will be held accountable for the truth that we heard. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Church, I invite you, amen, in Jesus' name. Just do everything you need to do to walk right before God. There are things that God's been dealing with your heart about, and you know, he only have to come once to speak to you. If you reject his voice, then he has every right to bring judgment upon you based on what he shared with you. Don't reject it. The Bible says, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So I encourage you, don't harden your heart. Don't allow a rebellious spirit to overtake you. Don't do that. You want a soft heart before God. Sometimes you might need to ask God to just create a new heart in me. Change my heart, God. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. Everything that you're holding on to, you gotta let it go and do what you have to do. Let go of everything that you're holding on to. Oh, you gotta let it go. Oh, do what you have to do. Let go of everything, yes, that you're holding on to. Oh, you gotta let it go. Oh, do what you have to do. Come on, let go of everything that you're holding on to. Well, you gotta let it go. Yeah, do what you have to do. Let go of everything that you're holding on to. Oh, you gotta let it go. Do what you have to do. Oh, let go of everything that you're holding on to. Oh, you gotta let it go. What you have to do, let go of everything that you're holding on to. Oh, you gotta let it go. Oh, do what you have to do. Oh, as soon as I stop worrying, worrying how the story ends, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, that's when things start happening. And I stop looking at back then, and I let go and I let God, I let God have his way. As soon as I stop worrying, oh, worrying how the story ends, when I let go and I let God, I let God have his way, and that's when things start happening. Oh, and I stop looking at back then, and I let go and I let God. Oh, I let God have his way. Come on, one more time. Soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends. When I let go and I let God, oh, I let God have his way. Oh, that's when things start happening. Oh, I start,
Brother Solomon.
Oh, when I let go and I let God, oh, I let God. Come on, sing it again. Say, as soon as I.
Offering to our God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I tell you what a message we heard this morning. I believe it was again a warning from the throne room of Almighty God. That shouldn't bring fear upon us. It should bring great expectation. You know, last week Brother Jack told us to go back and listen to the Feast of Trumpets, the 70 weeks of Daniel. I did that. And I also went back and listened to that rapture message. I want to do something real quick. I know Brother Jack wouldn't mind. Brother Caleb, he actually didn't open the service with a song. But when you go and listen to the rapture message, and you'll see how it ties in with what Brother Jack preached this morning. Brother Branham actually opened the rapture message with a song. And he called it the background to the rapture. And you'll see everything that Brother Jack just preached is really about the rapture. Listen to this psalm. It was the first 5 verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And that was the background for the rapture. A time of trouble. Your enemies rising up against you. Like he just spoke of about Mordecai, how Mordecai stood. And then not only did he persecute Mordecai, but his people. And he just spoke of how Brother Branham said, I will not go before the presence of this Pope and kiss his ring. Not only will he persecute our prophet, the people as well. So in a time of trouble, there's something that's going to take place on this earth. And I'm so grateful. Praise the Lord. Let's sing one little song before we leave out of here. Let me see if I can find it. It came upon my heart. It actually was one of the songs that Brother Branham sung through that time, the Day of Redemption. I believe it's the key of F. Nations are breaking and Israel's awakening, the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. The day of yelling for fear, be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring, her national life long dethroned. Today she is calling, her ladder rings falling, return, O disperse to your own. Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. His powers are shaking and many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is a power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. Day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. This generation spurns God's revelation, will walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up. Let's sing that last verse again. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the question would be, what do we have to fear? Amen. The day of redemption is near. We must get in the spirit of the second coming of the Lord. Will you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're so grateful, Lord God, that your plan of redemption is marvelous, Lord. It's marvelous in our eyes, Lord, to see what you have already accomplished, Lord. You have given us prophetic insight, Lord. Lord, so that we would not be frightened, Lord God, and we wouldn't be overtaken by that day. We're so grateful, Lord God, that you sent a message in this hour. We're even more grateful that you placed something within us, Lord, that we could receive it, Lord. And we thank you for the revelation, Lord, of this hour that you've given us, Lord. And may we take it, Lord God, and continue to press on into the coming of the Lord. Father God, we are needy people. We need more of you, Lord. We need less of ourselves and more of you, Lord. May we continue to die out, Lord, Lord, to our own will, Lord, to the things of the world, Lord God, that we may fulfill your will and accomplish that which you have purposed for us in our lives. Heavenly Father, as we get ready to leave this place, Lord, we trust that your presence will forever abide in us, Lord, until that great day. Father, we are looking forward, Lord God, to seeing Brother Mike again, Lord. We know that the dead in Christ must rise first, Lord, and we shall be changed and caught up together with them to meet you in the air, Lord. Help us to make preparations for that hour, Lord. We love you, Father. We commit all things to you now. We ask these blessings all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. At this time, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our visitors, and Brother Jack wants to come back out and speak to the congregation concerning the events that's going to go on next weekend for Brother Mike and what needs to be done and how we all can help. God bless you, saints.